Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Andrew McCormick and John Schwartz. Andrew and John are members of our Executive MBA class of 2022, and they are also leaders of the Executive MBA Consulting Club. I recently connected with Andrew and John via Zoom to talk more about their backgrounds, what led them to Darden, and what the Consulting Club has in store for the months ahead. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Andrew McCormick and John Schwartz. Andrew, John, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Brett. We really appreciate it.
All right. Well, we're all here. We're going to talk about the Consulting Club eventually. But before we get there, I want to check in first with both of you, see how you're doing. John, you're outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. How are things in the suburbs of Philly?
You know, living in the suburbs was kind of a blessing in some ways with everything that happened 18 months ago. I didn't really feel like I had to move. It was easy to kind of go remote from work. I already had an office. I already had an office set up. So it's been going really well. I'm looking forward. You know, we're back on grounds for OGRs with the class. It's great to meet everyone in person and be in person with everybody. Hoping to get back to work in the near future and just kind of start building those personal relationships again.
Yeah, it feels like a different world. You and I met for coffee in Philadelphia a few moons ago, and I will say maybe one day we'll meet again and we'll get to have a soft pretzel standing on a corner somewhere downtown Philly. One can dream. Yeah. Andrew, how are you doing?
Yeah, things are going great as well. I'm located in Washington, D.C., and for folks that are in Washington, the weather here is getting beautiful, and excited to return back this summer or this fall to in-person classes as well. I know we're still finding our way out of the pandemic, but it's been really great to start to network and spend time more with our classmates over these past couple months, so it's been an exciting time.
Yeah, I am... someone who believes that fall is the best season in DC. What are your thoughts, Andrew?
Fall or spring, but yeah, I'm a fall person. My birthday was in September, so I usually tend to enjoy the fall more as well.
All right. Well, you're living your best life right now. Are you a pumpkin person? Are you pumpkin spice latte? Is that your preferred drink, seasonal beverage these days?
I'm not a pumpkin spice latte person, but I do enjoy going to a pumpkin patch or a orchard in the fall.
All right. Well, you can do that all within a short drive of the Washington, D.C. metro area. Well, thank you both for coming
on. Exactly.
On the podcast, we've been trying over the past, I guess ever since we launched the podcast, to feature the many different ways, you know, students engage with the program while they're current students. You know, of course, that happens in the classroom. It's also life outside of the classroom. And so we've had any number of leaders, student organizations. We've had consulting club. We featured a consulting club in different ways. But nice to have you here to talk a little bit more about the consulting club. Let's talk about you, though. Andrew, I'm going to start with you. Tell us your story. Like, how did you get to this point of thinking about an MBA? What's your background and how did an MBA hit your radar?
Yeah, that would be great. So Brett, the first 6 years of my career, I actually started off on the Hill. I worked for a senator from Montana and then worked for a lobbying firm for 3 years. I was a registered federal lobbyist. I decided to not take the political career path and I career switched into public sector consulting a little over 6 years ago. I started at a small firm with less than 50 people. And then I started at my current firm, Booz Allen Hamilton, about 3.5 years ago, working with my same client. I work for the Military Health System, which is the healthcare division of the Department of Defense. And how I decided to go to business school, I always knew I wanted to go back to grad school, but I couldn't figure out what the best degree was and what would have the best ROI. And I actually have, I write down my New Year's resolutions every year, and I think it was 3 years ago, I first finally put down that I wanted to go to business school, and it took about 2 years for me to finally get up the courage to study for the GRE and apply. And why I wanted to attend business school is because I come from a humanities background, so a lot of the technical stuff that I've learned in business school, like accounting, finance, and statistics, are things that I did not have a background in, and I wanted to move up further to the manager level and executive level within consulting. And I found that Darden has given me all of that. It's been really great, the learning opportunities that the school's offered to me.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story and your MBA journey here, Andrew. John, same question for you. You know, tell us about you and how you got interested in pursuing an MBA.
Yeah, Brett, definitely. It's a tough story to follow up, but I'll do my best. So I graduated as an accounting undergrad. I started out at Deloitte & Touche working in the audit practice. So I'm a trained CPA by my trade. I then transitioned after a few years to PricewaterhouseCoopers, where I worked in their deals practice doing financial due diligence for a lot of private equity clients. So I lived in Philadelphia, but mainly did work out of New York City, DC, Boston. And then, you know, I feel like I kind of dipped my toe into the MBA world in the mid-2010s. I was considering going back to school, and then an opportunity came up to move to London for a few years. So I decided to take the international path. I figured the MBA would always kind of be there, but being able to not have children and live internationally was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I jumped at it. And then kind of I transitioned to my current organization now. It's family-owned. And just in thinking about how to move up my career path, I thought getting some more of the softer skills as well as the MBA would help me kind of move into the C-suite level over the next few years of my career.
Yeah, I thought we were going to hear something just a little bit different than Andrew's story, knowing something about your background, John. So I think it's good for people listening to these podcasts to hear just the different backgrounds that are represented. You know, some people come from just kind of traditional business backgrounds. They have exposure to accounting and finance, and other folks, not as much, and they're coming to get those things. Because at Darden, everybody takes this required core curriculum, and then you have electives. And so you're going to get the fundamentals. So let's talk about why Darden. And John, I'm going to come to you to kind of kick things off here. What got you interested in Darden?
Yeah, so I would say it's 2 points, Brett. First, you know, I think it was just a natural transition, being a very quantitative heavy background and career, getting the case method, the soft skills, being a part of a team, kind of everything that Darden's about and its learning styles and how you work together with not only the professors, but your classmates, very enticing for me. And then secondarily, and Catherine knows this from my interview, UVA was like my top choice for undergrad and I got dinged. So I always had a chip on my shoulder about coming back and getting a Darden MBA just to send back to the admissions team at some point later in my life.
You know what? I think it's the first time we've heard that as a why Darden reason, at least here on the podcast, John. I will take it, though. It has led you back here to Darden. You know, so we're thrilled. You're just a few quarters away from ending the program and wrapping things up. Does that feel surreal to you, kind of being here? I think it's quarter seven for your class at this point.
Yeah, we're right in finals week. So quarter seven will be over on Sunday night. And yes, it is very surreal. We, you know, after Q5, everyone was like, "Woo, we're 50% of the way there." And I was like, there's still a good amount of time. And it's crazy how Q6 and Q7 finished so quickly. And before you know it, it's going to be the holidays. We're going to be going into our spring 22 semester in our last two quarters. So I think the team is in the cohorts doing a great job of making the best of the time we have left with each other.
Yeah, Andrew mentioned it at the top, being back in person. It's exciting to spend time with your class. We've gotten to see you for the past couple weekend residencies up here in Roslyn. I'm speaking personally here. It was fun to be at the Plus One event too. Patio, Le Meridian, beautiful evening. Andrew, that had to be relatively proximate to your birthday, I would imagine. Did you just kind of think about that event as just an extension of your birthday celebration, that cookout experience, or was it, you know, just maybe all part of a month of celebration?
Yeah, I would mention, my family said, "Hey, what are you doing for your birthday?" And I said, "I'm actually in school for the weekend." And I said, "I'm sorry, and I won't." I said, "I'd actually rather be in school for the weekend because I'm surrounded by my classmates who have become my good friends." So it was pretty awesome to have my birthday actually on a OGR weekend. So did not mind at all.
Well, we planned it that way, Andrew, just so you know. So coming to you with the same question as John, you know, why Darden?
Yeah, so I visited six schools and UVA was actually my number one. I knew that had really good general management program, and I knew that it's one of the only few schools that teaches only by the case method, which is a very important and strong skill to develop, especially when you are looking at consulting firms or a career in consulting. And I was actually initially interested in the full-time program, and by happenstance met a alumni from Darden that did the executive program. And after speaking with him, I agreed that it would probably be a better idea to stay at Booz Allen and be able to get the Darden MBA while doing the executive program. And I've been really happy about it. I've been able to take what I learned in the classroom and apply to my client work at my firm. So that's been a really valuable part of doing this program.
And here you are, also exams. Sorry, apologies from podcast folks for putting this during your exam week, but maybe you feel like you have a little bit more flexibility. I don't know. But here you are, exams for quarter seven. You've got three more quarters and LR2 after this. So the end is near. How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels weird. I actually wrapped up my exams early last evening, and it's weird to, I have folders for each quarter on my Outlook, and it was weird to just close up Q7 and think I have three left. And I mean, as John said, the holidays go by fast, and then, you know, it'll be spring before we know it and graduation. So I'm starting to get kind of melancholy about it all.
Well, that is the thing that happens. I mean, people are always excited to have a little bit more time back in their schedule, or maybe a good chunk of time. We're always telling prospective students, this is probably about 15 to 20 hours per week, but that can vary depending on where you are in the program sometimes, all the other things that you have going on. But to a person, you know, excited to have the time back, but there's also like a bittersweet element. You know, you're moving through this experience with a group of people. You get to know those people really well. To your birthday point, Andrew, to, you know, the relationships that you build, that's a big part of this. So how, you know, Andrew, you started to talk about this as kind of taking from school back to work and maybe bring things from work and talking about it with folks at school. What's been the impact of the program for you so far? How have you felt yourself grow over this experience?
Yeah, I'll say one of the hardest classes for me was accounting, but being able to read a balance sheet and an income statement now is like super helpful just to look at my firm's financials. And also I'm on a condo, in a condo in DC to like read my condo board's financials and on a personal level. And then elective wise, we took a class called the consulting process with a really good professor at Darden named Vivian Reifberg. And we kind of learned a lot of consulting skills about kind of coming with your recommendation up front. And when I brief my client now, at the Department of Defense, I use a lot of those skills when I brief now and build my decks and consulting. So I found a lot of the skills in that class I've been able to apply to work.
Yeah, a lot of that resonates with conversations that we've had here on the podcast, people taking things that they either pick up from conversations with classmates, faculty, things they learn in class and kind of taking it with them. You know, as you think back, that accounting class or the adjustment, were there learning curves for you? It sounds like maybe some of the subject matter early on. You take accounting pretty early in the program. It's one, a lot of quant typically up front. Decision analysis, accounting, finance, these things come early. So does global economies and markets in the executive MBA program. So were there learning curves for you?
Oh, completely. I always say to myself, I'm probably the worst math student ever. So that was like, I was really scared to go to business school and start to use math again. But a lot of it's learning like spreadsheet work. But besides that, if you need help, there are classmates that tutor you. You have your learning team that you can reach out to. And your professors have open office hours too, where you can meet with them individually and they can help tutor you as well. So you will survive. If I can survive, anyone can survive. But you'll find the information and the skills you learn extremely valuable as well.
Yeah, we tell people the strategy is ask for help early, often. Don't do that turtle thing where you're like, oh, this will all go away. And, you know, if I just kind of let this pass, it'll get better. Get engaged, ask for help. There's lots of resources around you. John, coming to you with the same couple questions. So, you sit here wrapping up exams for quarter seven. Maybe you still have a little work left, unlike Andrew. That's okay. You have an exam period for a reason. What's been the impact for you when you look back on the program and kind of think about things?
Yeah, great question. I would say Andrew and I are the exact opposite in terms of exams. He's finished, and I'm going to say that exams today. So, like, if you put it together, you get a really good team, right? So I would say, you know, the biggest impact in you know, when I was interviewing and speaking with you, Brett, and some others at Darden, the executive side of it always was, you learn during OGRs and you can apply it Monday at work. And I always kind of, I understood the concept behind it, but I really questioned how much is that like really in action versus somebody just says it, right? And what I've seen is my takeaways from that are great, especially now that we have OGRs in person. We had a great negotiation course in Q7. And, you know, as part of my job, I'm usually negotiating purchase agreements and things of that nature. And I would see things or a way that my counterpart would operate. And I'd be like, oh, I know exactly what they're doing here. And I could put a framework around it that I didn't have before. I had like the gut instinct of what was going on, but I couldn't say, okay, this is what they're doing. And this is how I applied to like best counteract their approach to get the best outcome for our side. So I would say that was a great outcome. And I would also say, I know for like Andrew, the quant side, I came in, and, you know, accounting for me already having my CPA, I kind of always joked with our professor, like, can I just bypass this course? Like, can I just test out? Is there a way to do that without actually going to class every day? But the non-quantitative, right, the soft skills, the professional advancement courses, I would sit in those, and I would definitely say in Q1, I was kind of like, man, this is tough. Like, I don't really get it. How does this value? Like, but then I had to keep thinking back. I came to Darden to get the soft skills, the general management side of things. This is what separates C-suite from like the everyday doers of numbers and kind of cranking out the actual work. So, you know, I would say even that just has rounded me out professionally as well over the past, you know, just over a year at this point.
All right. And when you think back on those learning curves, it sounds like maybe some of the softer skills, that was one of the things, or as you got into those classes, maybe you felt more stretched by some of that material. Other things that were an adjustment for you?
Yeah, I would say the, you know, just time management, right? I think before we even start, right, you get access to the Career Center, which has been kind of great. And in one of my first discussions, you know, they always ask kind of like, what's your flaw? And I was like, I'm a perfectionist, right? I want to get everything perfect every time. And they were like, well, how are you going to do the MBA program whilst at work and everything else going on? And I was like, yeah, I have no idea. And they were like, you have to understand what 80-20 rules are. And do you need to have a top 10% grade in the class, or are you okay with, you know, being top 20%? Like, what are your goals and what's the most important thing? And me being able to delegate my time and think about where the most important part is for me has been great. So, you know, I had something that was important to go out this morning for work. So I got back from vacation on Tuesday, Wednesday, and this morning were dedicated to work. And then Thursday afternoon, Friday, and the weekend will be dedicated to school. But like, I would have never had that prioritization skill set before.
Yeah, those are tough lessons, all those things. You get practice with them in this program, but it doesn't doesn't come easy to say like, oh, well, I'm gonna have to get comfortable with like prioritizing and like letting something go or being okay with good enough in some weeks, because that's all that I can really do. And for some people, the learning curve is asking for help and saying, you know, I don't understand this, because chances are that's not something people do a lot in the flow of their everyday work life. Like, most people know what they're doing. They know their job. They know how to handle this. And now you're taking classes that might put you outside of that comfort zone. So
I'm just going to say, I'll appreciate like watching Real Housewives on a Thursday night at some point in 2022.
So yeah. you're looking forward to some, you know, television fare, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'd like to have my Tuesdays and Thursdays night evenings back at some point. My girlfriend and family will appreciate that a lot.
Well, let's talk about the consulting club and what got you interested in serving as leaders. Some of our listeners may be new to the consulting club and not familiar with the organization. And that's part of the reason why we invited you here. So, Andrew, tell us a little bit more about what the consulting club is and what it does.
Yes. So our consulting club in the EMBA program was actually founded last year by two 2021s. They did a great job of setting this club up for success for John and I. So we're very thankful for that. So the full-time also has a consulting club as well. And we kind of network with them as well to help build skills and networking. And I was going to mention, when you go to Darden, there's kind of four types of students. There's climbers, switchers, entrepreneurs, or explorers. We kind of attract any of those types of students. If you're already a consultant and you want to climb within your current firm, we can help with skills with that. if you're a switcher and you're looking to go into recruitment for consulting in the fall during the time we're in right now, we offer resources, case prep, and workshops for that. And if you're an explorer as well and just kind of want to learn about the consulting industry, John and I kind of serve as point of contact to speak with other students who are interested in consulting, who want to know the different types of industries, what are the differences of the firms, what's the difference between strategy and implementation consulting. And we're able to like kind of answer those questions for other students too. So we serve as a resource and then also help prepare students for recruitment with firms if that's the track that they want to go towards.
All right. And John, coming to you with the sort of second question about like, how did you decide to get involved as a leader of this organization? You've got a lot on your plate. You got a full-time job. You got school, doing a lot of other things in addition to school and work. Why serve as a leader of the consulting club?
Yeah, great question. When I started up at Darden, I definitely felt a little bit overwhelmed. But what I saw is the people that got the most out of the program were the people that put the most into the program. With my background kind of working in the big four, just consulting in general, right? It may not be strategy consulting or implementation consulting, but, you know, just generally in that space, it always was interesting to me. And, you know, the two 21s that started the program, they were both very personable as well as highly successful. They both, you know, got great offers coming out of graduation. So I kind of looked at it as there's a way that I can almost take a leadership role and also give back, right? When people are asking, hey, John, what is it like working at Strategy End? Sure, I never worked at Strategy End in PwC, but I know enough people there that I know what they do, right? So I thought it was a good stepping stone to being more involved in school, getting to know a good subset of individuals that have very diverse backgrounds, as well as kind of being able to help people think through their career options and where they really want to land over time.
Yeah, I should probably give a shout out to Nicole Vidge and Daniel Roberts, who helped found the organization. They are the two 2021s that have been referenced here. So, and you're right, they did both find great opportunities. So I just saw Nicole not so long ago on a Network of Executive Women webinar about balancing work life and school. Andrew, similar reason for you come to like a leadership role in the consulting club, or other thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, I knew coming to Darden that I wanted to become involved with the school in some capacity, but I wasn't sure how. And I knew that I kind of wanted to help gain leadership skills as well, not only in the classroom, but outside the classroom at Darden. And kind of stepping in a leadership role with the consulting club helped serve that need. And also so say as well, when we started school, we kind of did a kickoff meeting with the consulting club where I met Daniel and Nicole, and kind of became Nicole has become a mentor to me and also a friend as well. So I kind of wanted to help continue the legacy of what she had started. So that was another reason behind it as well.
Yeah, I love that idea. That's always the tricky thing with clubs and organizations, where you have one class where maybe you have a few students that are super engaged. And then the question is always, well, what about the next class and the class after that? And so the continuity can be tricky. But we've reached a point here with, I think, about 7, maybe 8, possibly, executive MBA student organizations. And a number of them kind of structured around sort of career interests. So we got the Entrepreneurship Club, Consulting Club. There's a kind of emerging venture capital club too. So it's exciting to see all this happening. So Andrew, I'll stay with you for this next question. What's the consulting club working on right now? What are you looking forward to?
Yes. So the class of 2023 just started, and we actually had a club night about a month ago on grounds in Sands and Roslyn. So I kind of took names and introduced and networked with a lot of students there. And then over the next couple weeks or months, we plan to have kind of workshops, one-on-ones on what is consulting, what kind of firms recruit at Darden, what are the different types of firms and kind of different types of industries, and then also begin to provide resources for students that think that they want to go down the consulting track next year or maybe later on during their Darden career.
So a lot to come. Yes, the 2023 is, you're right, club night. every time I hear that, I always think of maybe something a little bit different than like a, like essentially a club fair, but that is what it was. And it was high energy, a lot of fun. I have everybody there together. I think we've been trying to find ways to build connections across classes more. So 2022s and 2023s in this case. And that happened some during the summer. We had some virtual networking events for some of the clubs. We had a virtual networking event for the 2022s and 2023s. And then we even were in person together at Nats Park in July. Y'all were in residency, which y'all refer to as on-grounds residencies, OGRs here. Y'all were in residency, and the 2022s, we invited them. I think we ended up with about 40, 50 2023 students there. And so continue to look for ways to kind of bring you together, and clubs and organizations are a good way to do that. And so, John, anything that you're looking forward to in the months to come?
Yeah, no, I would say Andrew gave a great overview. I would also say I'm just excited for everyone that's kind of has decided to be a switcher. Kind of on-grounds recruiting and even kind of experience recruiting is kind of happening right now. So there's a lot of individuals that are casing within the club to get ready for those interviews. So just a shout out to them for all the time and dedication that they're doing to the interview process. It's not your standard strictly behavioral, right? You have to be able to answer a couple business problems as part of the interview process. And the preparation for that is definitely pretty intense. So shout out to all those students. And I also think that, you know, we're excited to kind of get, you know, I think we did a great, Nicole and Daniel did a great job getting it started. And I think we're looking really forward to getting like a head start for the 23s, right? You know, we started doing stuff for the 22s in our spring year. And I hope we can kind of continue that or move it up a little bit for those people that are really serious about kind of consulting careers or even other careers that just use the case method, being able to get them the prep early on as an executive student. You have a lot going on. So just really ready to get everyone up and running for the 23s and see the results of our class in the 22s.
It's a good point on the time. I think that is one of the trickiest things for people who are doing a working professional program where they're balancing, you know, all these things, work life and school. And so if you can extend that prep time, right, you kind of extend, you say like, I start maybe not a month before, maybe, but a few months before trying to get my casework in. That's one of the things that might be able to help. It's interesting to hear that. I think some of our listeners, maybe if they're longtime listeners, are not so surprised to hear that we have clubs and organizations. But I'm wondering if y'all were surprised to kind of find this to be part of an executive MBA program experience. Oftentimes people kind of think about these programs in this kind of like, I go to school, I go home, I go to school, I go home, or, you know, this is much more transactional. John, was it something you were surprised by or at least intrigued by when you looked at DARC?
Yeah, no, it's fair. And, you know, I think what I've learned through it is the way that Darden's put the program together for the executives it's been a phenomenal experience, right? You know, I initially came in thinking, similar to what you said, Brett, it'll be transactional, right? I come down for OGRs, I leave, I go home. I never see any of my classmates. You know, there's a good contingent in Philadelphia that are in my class or kind of, you know, I think even the 21s and 23s, we get together, we kind of have nights out, kind of socially distant, follow the rules, but we're able to see each other outside of the OGRs. So I think between what the program has done around not only clubs, but just the core way of putting together the program, it's been an excellent experience and it's definitely exceeded my expectations. And to Andrew's point earlier, I think I'll have, you know, a good number of friends for life, and it's probably greater than what I had in going to university for undergrad, right? So I think it's complementary to the program and shows its successful way of going at trying to meet the needs of executive students.
And there's a pretty deep group of people up in Philly. If you even go extend to maybe the class of 2018, 19, 20, plus all those classes that you mentioned, I think we might get to 15, 20 or so people. Like it's a solid chunk. I will admit I used to go up there quite a bit to recruit and miss spending time in Philadelphia. We don't do nearly as many in-person events these days, but hopefully we'll get back to that. And you know, it was great. It was a great way to kind of, a lot of people landed there after the program doing different things or were there before and did the program from there. So Andrew, coming to you, same question. Were you surprised about clubs and activities and all of this kind of extracurricular stuff when you looked at the executive MBA program?
Yeah, I was as well. Like I mentioned, I wasn't even looking at executive MBA programs at all. I was looking at either part-time in the DC area, or I was looking for full-time programs. And I was just really surprised when I met the students who had done the executive program, who kind of restated what John said as well, that you become very close and cohesive with your class. And then the weekends that we have been in OGR recently, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of the magic like comes alive when you're all together, finally networking together. So I've been really surprised by it as well, and really pleased how things have turned out.
Well, we asked the same last question of all of our guests. Is there a piece of advice you would share with our listeners, some folks sitting here listening to the podcast, maybe interested in the executive MBA program, or may just be evaluating whether to get an MBA, to go back to school, all things that you've thought through before. Any advice you would share with them? Andrew, I'll come to you first.
Yes, I would say network as much as possible with folks that are in the programs that you're interested in. That's how you're going to get the best takeaway if it's the right fit for you. I know we're still in the pandemic, but I know visiting schools can be beneficial as well. But I know there's virtual tours that students can do now, or kind of through Zoom. And then I would also just kind of take a look at yourself and where you are in your career, where things stand with you. Like I said, I thought I wanted to do full-time, and then it turned out executive was actually a good option for me and has worked out really well for me. So it matters where you are in your career, where things stand with you as well, for what type of program and option is good for you as well. I will say the executive program is a big time commitment, so people should be cognizant of that going into it. You have to be ready to kind of have an extra 20 plus hours per week of schoolwork. So I would give a heads up on that.
No, it's important to note. And, you know, I think one of the things that people are probably picking up on when you listen to this particular conversation is that people do things other than just class and homework, right? So maybe have career meetings, may have clubs and activities. And I think to the point that John made about prioritization, like a lot of this comes down to like what's important to you in the experience, and how are you ordering those things at what time? And you have a finite resource, time, and so how are you allocating your time accordingly? And so that's going to be different from student to student, but definitely the time management piece is it's a learned skill. You might get better at it as you go through the program, but every quarter kind of brings its own challenge, because of course your life will not remain static either. So John, a piece of advice for our listeners?
You know, Brett, I think, you know, the key thing for me was kind of doing the kind of decision tree analysis of, do I want to do residential or executive? And when I made the decision to do the executive, I think what you really need to think about is what I found is, you know, the Roslyn location has been great for me, being from Philadelphia, right? Talk about the big contingency. I think part of that's because it's a 2-hour drive, right? Like I get down to OGRs, it's not a crazy demand for me. So I would say I'd visit the school, see how the programs work, make sure it's going to fit for your lifestyle. And then I would also say, you've got to think about it from kind of your family perspective, right? Make sure you're going to need support, right? Like my girlfriend, you know, there's times where we have double classes and she's like, why are we eating dinner at 9:30 at night? And she's not happy with me, but she understands it's an 18-month commitment and she got on board with it. So we worked through it. And I would also say the other side of it too is definitely be open. If you're going to do the executive program, talk to your employer about it. My boss is amazing. Definitely makes my flexibility a little bit easier. If I have class at 6 to 7:30 on a Tuesday night, we need to have a call. He'll hop on the phone at 7:35 and we can do it afterwards. But make sure you just have those open conversations, because it is a time commitment. I think if you have those amazing bosses and people that you want to work for and grow with, it can make the program so much easier from a feeling like you can actually be successful and get through it without kind of you know, wanting to cry at some point in time.
Yeah, hopefully no tears. We're trying to avoid the tears. Have those conversations early, have them often, help people understand why you want to take this step, bring them into the process. Tremendous advice, all things that we encourage people. I mean, every time we're on an application tip session, we try to reinforce that message, because Even as you're, you know, even thinking about applying to the program, you should be having these conversations at home, at work, just kind of bringing people in. Why are you doing this? What's it going to look like for you? And continuing to check back. Even once you get in the program, it's not like a set it and forget it thing. It's, you know, every time you have an OGR, you come back from it, share with what you learned. Every quarter, you're going to get new classes. So you check in with the schedule. And does this work? What do we have coming up at work? What do we have coming up at home? All of those things. So Andrew and John, thank you both for coming on the podcast. It's been great. Andrew, congratulations on finishing exams. John, good luck with your exams. And I look forward to seeing you for the next on-grounds residency. It's been such a treat getting to spend time with your class.
Thank you, Brett.
And that was my interview with Andrew McCormick and John Schwartz, two members of our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, mba@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.